Welcome to the Classy Reattire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
We're going to do it like we always do.
Always do. Every day. Every night.
Can't stop. Don't stop.
I have no other words. It's mostly just a rap of noises. Sorry. It's SummerSlam, you guys!
Yeah!
Alright, well, it's now SummerSlam has happened.
Well, I mean, still plenty of reason to be excited because...
It's football season, you guys!
Hooray!
Wrestling's about to get bad.
Not necessarily.
Well, maybe.
Considering, you know, recent events and what the next 4 to 6 months are going to look like.
It has no choice but to get good? Is that what you're trying to say?
There's a chance for something different.
There is a chance for something different. Which we will get to as we go through this podcast, because so much happened
this week.
This
might be a long podcast, guys, so
much
happened. Fans of us are going to be happy that there might be more of us. If you hate us, then why are you listening to this?
All right, so we want to go through the SummerSlam card?
Yes.
Does that technically happen first?
Yes, let's do that. Start off the kickoff, not really much to say here. Dean Ambrose beat RVD, you know, due to S.H.I.E.L.D. He didn't defeat. RVD won.
Yes.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. interfered, but Dean retained.
Dean retained.
Who really won there? So.
Yeah. It was one of those, and it was...
But, okay, my thing about this is, what was the whole purpose of Big Show and Mark Henry coming out? If what they were supposed to do is stop the other members of S.H.I.E.L.D. from interfering, they didn't even get that right. That's their only job. They couldn't even prevent that from happening.
You had one job, Big Show.
Exactly.
You had one job.
One job. Not even in a match. Neither are you, Mark Henry. All you had to do is stop those two smaller guys getting into that ring. But no.
Well, are you surprised?
No.
Okay. It's the pre-show.
The logic.
It's the pre-show.
And it was a surprisingly long match for a pre-show. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't...
It's as long as a pre-show match should be, though.
Yeah.
You have half an hour to fill.
Yeah.
And I know what that card is. And I get you want to run down the card because this is your last-ditch effort for some buys.
And I understand, like, how tempted they are to use the panel, especially when you have Shawn Michaels and Booker T on there.
Was that Shawn Michaels?
Yes, that was Shawn Michaels and not a tree.
I was pretty sure that was a rugged homeless man that they found outside the Staples Center.
Okay. Leave that... awesome person alone, because one, it's Shawn Michaels, and two, that beard is glorious. That is a glorious beard, and one would be so lucky to have a beard like that.
Oh, Shawn Michaels. I love Shawn Michaels, but if he started talking about his alien abduction conspiracy, I would not bat an eyelash.
You know what? I would just politely nod, just like I'm sure a lot of people did during Ric Flair's... moment at the 2K14 panel.
Yeah. Oh, you legends. You cards, you. Gotta love them.
I'm not so sure Drug Flair should really see that.
Gotta love them.
I do, but dear Lord, Drug Flair should not see the light of day.
Fair enough.
We've heard stories. Now we've actually got to see it. It's not pretty.
I think they should go, like, just lean into it and release, like, action figures.
Drunk Flair.
And, what are they called? Wrestling buddies. That you squeeze and they have catchphrases? I want one.
You squeeze one. Yeah, Mick, we didn't really wrestle each other much in WWE, but man, we sure stole the show over there in that other place. TNA. Yeah, he said TNA. He referenced TNA, called him by name on a WWE panel.
Woo!
Woo! Okay, we should get off Ric Flair before Chastity has a field day with us.
I like Ric Flair. He's a cool guy.
Ric Flair's great. Yeah, we love him.
Woo! All right. Inferno match.
Wrong. As Michael Cole clearly explained many, many times, that... in a Ring of Fire match, apparently everyone is equal. Sorry, I had to. Ring of Fire, it's you know, a regular match, except there's
fire.
And you, which limits the use of ropes a lot.
This match,
which is something I did not take into account
when you were excited.
When I was excited about this, now that I saw it, I was like, "Oh, this wasn't good."
Yeah, this.
But I'm glad that they tried it.
No, this is a thing where
it's
like,
something that hadn't been done before. So fine.
This is a thing where you pat them on the head. You're like, "Good job! I'm gonna put this right here on the refrigerator for everyone to see."
And then whenever you come up with something better, we're going to get rid of this pile of garbage.
This match did a very good job at showing us why we don't do these kinds of matches.
Yeah, and you had to try. You had to try.
Credit for trying. For it. You got a weird dude that you're trying to put over as a weird dude, give him a weird match.
And you had to have something, and you had to have something to get Kane off TV for a little while.
Yeah, fair enough. I get it. So, and in all honesty, like, it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a drag.
It didn't really hurt Bray Wyatt in any way of what they were trying to build.
Right.
So I mean, you know.
Yes.
It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally it was fine.
Don't do it again. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it was fine this time.
I'm fine with it. Fine. So, yeah. Did I say fine too much just now?
You said fine a lot.
Okay. Well, it's fine.
Are you sad? Are you disappointed?
No. It's fine.
Are you sad?
It's fine. It's fine.
Would you like to move on right now?
It's a sword. Next we had Cody Rhodes against Damian Sandow. Cody Rhodes ended up winning. It was a quick match. I would have liked it to be a little bit longer.
Yes.
But it was much better than the usual Cody Rhodes or Damian Sandow match.
Chris.
Yes.
Did you ever watch, when you were younger, a show called Dragon Ball Z?
No, my mom is a minister. And that was the devil's work.
Because their hair was pointy?
I don't know.
So, in Dragon Ball
Z... Or am I confusing that with Pokemon? Probably both.
Because his ears were pointy?
Probably both. They were probably both demonic.
Well, let me explain to you. In Dragon Ball Z, there was this race of aliens that really enjoyed fighting. Okay. So they would wear very heavy armor that would, weigh them down and make it harder for them to fight. So that the fights would last longer, because they were too good at fighting.
Okay.
And that was the story point. And then, when the superhero good guy be like, "Oh, I'm beating you." Like, "I take off my armor, and now I'm super proud." That's what Cody's mustache is. Because you take off that mustache.
It's just a black hole of talent.
Yes.
Okay. It's like, all of a sudden, they decided to wrestle as if they gave a crap.
Cared. Yeah.
So, it was good. I really enjoyed it, and, yeah, like I said, I wish it would have gone a little bit longer.
Yeah, well...
It seemed quick, but I understand they want to get on to...
There's a lot to do tonight, but these guys, yeah, they definitely did fantastic stuff with the time that they had. And it's nice to see them, for like a try, put on a good show that they're worthy of, going forth with this.
Mm-hmm.
This match and the one that they had the next night, though, Cody Rhodes looked a lot better than Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
And, we've said before, Sandow's amazing on mic. His ring skills have been okay, but not...
Passable. Yeah. It's passable, but not...
Not up to where his mic skills are, and not up to where other people's ring skills are.
Right.
And he's the one with the briefcase.
Right.
So... I would like to see some really good stuff out of Damian Sandow.
To justify him having it. Unless they're setting up for some sort of match where Cody takes
it. If he hands over the briefcase, I'm totally fine with that. But...
I think that's what we're going to get within the next couple of pay-per-views.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, Sandow hasn't really proven that he can beat Cody. Like,
well, no. Yeah, it's one-sided.
I have no reason to believe that he has that talent in him. The way it was set up, so...
Yeah.
But... I still wouldn't mind watching these guys, fight a few more times, so.
I mean, especially if they keep going like that, and it was kind of odd to see them wrestling again the next night,
mm-hmm.
I hate it when they kind of give matches away for free that we just saw that everyone had to pay for.
Right.
But, I didn't want it to be overly saturated and then we get tired of them.
Right. I'm not yet.
Because, I'm getting tired of the storyline.
Yeah.
Their SmackDown stuff has not been...
Well, they're flying through this storyline. Like, this is a thing where I was like, oh, yeah, I could totally see them drawing this out and, over a course of several pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're going after each other every night, twice a week, I was like, oh, this has to come to a head real quick. And it did at SummerSlam, and now there's still more, and I get that, but
mm-hmm.
you keep throwing them at each other, yeah, they have to put that briefcase on the line pretty soon.
Yeah.
Del Rio
defeated Christian. Yeah. It was okay.
It was alright.
I mean, it was a Christian Del Rio match. I mean,
it's the same kind of thing. I said it before earlier podcast, but it's like, it feels like Christian's close to retiring. Mm. I really want Christian to have a beautiful send home retirement match, swan song kind of thing.
I'm not sure if Del Rio is the right choice for that then.
Yeah, I'm not sure he is.
I don't know who would be, honestly.
I get a final shot at the title being a cool,
yeah,
you know, token to add on there. And yeah, it's like, didn't feel like Christian had that. And, you know, it's like, well, Edge would be the perfect person to retire Christian.
But he's not around. But
he retired first.
He did retire first, yes.
So, you know.
I mean, the most notable thing about this match was those two hideous looking black eyes that Del Rio had.
Yeah.
That they try to sell, be like, oh yes, it's because of that kill switch from SmackDown on Friday. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's where the kill switch hits you. In the eyes.
Both of them. Let's not mention that, you know, he got into a really bad bar fight with, or him and Drew McIntyre got a very bad bar fight with some locals.
Yeah.
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 And it looked even worse on Raw. I don't know if I was like real seeing it in like full on HD or what, but it looked super bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like Jonah Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Super bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. You're funny.
Totally.
Let's move on.
Waka waka. Natalya defeated Brie Bella.
Let's move on.
Okay. Brock Lesnar defeated CM Punk. Yeah. Yeah.
This match.
It's, I don't know what else to say about it. Like,
you know, everybody has had this experience. It's when you, like, let it slip to somebody that you're a wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
or somebody overhears you talking to somebody else about wrestling, and they come up to you and, like, you know that's fake, right? And it's just something you have to put up with. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, yes, I know.
It's something that you know is going to happen.
It happens to you as a wrestling fan, and, you know, you have range of line, just put up with it, or no, it's not fake, it's scripted, and here's the difference, you know, there's a lot of things, but, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, at some point, you have somebody who tells you wrestling is fake, several times. I was watching this match, I'm not sure anybody ever told Brock Lesnar that.
No,
because,
and if you're, I think CM Punk forgot.
Yes.
That it's, you know, quote-unquote fake, because he was giving him just as many shots as Lesnar did.
This match was gorgeous.
Brutal. Like, everything that you wanted out of Brock Lesnar in a match.
This
CM Punk elevated his game.
This is,
which I didn't think was possible.
I feel justified for being excited when Brock Lesnar came back now.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because I would be okay with a rematch at, just list the pay-per-view, wherever
you want it.
WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Battleground, I don't care. I would be okay with a rematch here.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, CM Punk could only wrestle Brock Lesnar for the rest of his career. If it kept going like that, dear Lord, I would be alright with
that. That would be fantastic. And Paul Heyman, like, hit the perfect sweet spot of how much somebody should interfere.
Yep.
When they should interfere. Like, and that's a impossible thing to hit. You know, it's always the too much or too blatant or at the wrong time, or it overly distracting. Like, it wouldn't be that.
Because I know there was some moments whenever Punk was champion with Heyman, where Heyman would kind of overdo it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just for that one night, it just seemed like they knew
and it helped that so much of this feud was built around CM Punk hating Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And that being the true, you know, anger and emotion in the feud was between those two guys.
With Brock Lesnar being Heyman's avatar.
Yeah. So, that helped. God, and like you said, it's like, I feel so bad that I undersold this
in
my own heart.
To be honest, but to be honest with you, with what we knew beforehand, what else were we supposed to do, you know? Brock Lesnar didn't really put together a good body of work with Triple H. I mean, we had that great match against Cena, you know, but, you know, he'd kind of changed things. He's becoming more and more of a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's returning to being a wrestler.
And I put that as my match of the year.
Right.
Last year. But that was, you know, in all fairness, that wasn't a great wrestling match. That was just a great emotional match. And a lot of that was just because of the brutality and the, you know, constant focus on that. Plus, Brock Lesnar was back, and I was a little giddy schoolgirl about it.
Right.
But I am again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brock Lesnar's back, you guys.
Yeah. And I just think Punk is a great guy to wrestle the overly large powerhouse type.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's really great with Cena. We've seen some good stuff with him and Mark Henry in the past. Undertaker was really awesome. And now this, like, Punk, he's really good against, you know, guys that should completely overpower him.
Well, it's good because there's not too many guys that are smaller than him. He has to be good against guys that are bigger than him.
He's yeah, very true. Very true.
So, but it's just, it was a beautifully told story.
Mm-hmm.
That was, the match itself was, that was part of this bigger emotion-filled story.
It was a point where I didn't care who won or lost.
No.
It did not matter.
It was a true moment of a long for the ride.
Yep.
I cheered for whoever was about to get pinned because I didn't want the pin to happen because I wasn't done with the match.
Yeah.
And so, oh, it was fantastic. Do it again, you guys. It's going in my list of things to show people.
Yeah.
Who don't watch wrestling.
And it puts another notch on the reasons that I'm jealous of Yvette Nicole Brown from Community. Because she was there. Like, ringside.
Really? Mm-hmm. What was she doing there?
She was invited by Punk. Because they're friends now.
They're so good friends. They're my favorite friends.
Yeah, she took a photo on Instagram. Like, one of those with the different panels. Mm-hmm. And it had her in her Punk shirt. Had her Punk little wristbands. She was, like, all happy. And then she, you know, took a picture of where she was on the, like, in, where, by ringside. I'm like, and that was, I'm assuming that's her first live WWE experience.
That's the one to go to.
Yeah.
Wow.
CM Punk just had, like, the greatest weekend. Like, he had that, and before that, he was bowling with the nerds people.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we see that on the internet soon. Like, okay. He's, like, living, he's doing what pretty much all of us have always wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, in story, I'm sorry, I doubted Punk being able to. He said it back when Cena was getting the, you know,
never again.
When Cena was getting the closing matches while Punk was champion, he's like, I'm the main event no matter where I am on the card. Yep.
Yeah, he proved it.
And
he
don't need the title. I'm sorry I doubted you, CM Punk.
We shall never do it again.
Yes. That was my bad. I apologize. We get our cooldown match.
Which isn't much of a cooldown match.
No, that's...
I mean, it was quick.
That's the thing, it's a quick match, and you guys on the roster who get put in that cooldown slot, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You have a quick match, but you still keep it high energy, you keep it fast-paced,
still do good work.
Yeah, I...
Ultimately.
I get the breathing moment between the two main event-style matches on the card.
Yeah.
But I don't lose interest. I don't. The pace doesn't slow.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful, guys.
Yeah, so Joel's referring to Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn defeating AJ and Biggie Langston with the weird Dorito people sitting on the apron.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I was kind of hoping that, you know, Ziggler would, like, fall on him or something.
Yeah, I'd accepted that.
And, you know, involve them or something, you know.
No, they literally just, I guess, won a contest for...
I guess if I got a large Mark Henry falling on me, so I got to sit ring, like...
I mean, I'd take a splash of Mark Henry for that.
True. And, I mean, you know, he's an old pro. Like, he's not gonna...
No.
No.
I'm
he's
sorry.
He's going to make sure you're safe.
Yes. Can you imagine the lawsuit?
Right?
If Mark Henry just splashed the
thing.
Well,
I'm pretty sure there's something to be said that you willingly put yourself in that.
Okay.
Well,
can you imagine the you know,
it
public relations nightmare.
Yeah. It wouldn't look good, yes, but legally they would be fine.
Yes.
I mean, and I don't know anything about the law.
But
at all.
I gotta feel like there's something in there that's like,
I know I should have my driver's license on me, and I should follow the speed limit. And I shouldn't kill or do drugs.
And you do three of those four things?
No.
All of them but the speed limit thing?
It's a sword.
Three out of four?
It's a sword.
Alright, let's move on to our main event of... Yeah.
It's not going to be our match of the year, but barely.
Yeah.
Very, very small margin.
But, wow.
Daniel Bryan defeated John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all, like, grab onto that statement for just a second. Like, that happened. It was clean.
Yes.
Triple H didn't interfere at that point.
Right, no. Daniel Bryan cleanly defeated John Cena.
Yes.
The first person to do that since WrestleMania 28. When The Rock did it.
Yep.
So, in this decade, John Cena has been cleanly defeated twice. The Rock and Daniel Bryan.
Well, technically, Sheamus did.
In 2009.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
That might have been 2010. You might be right.
You're playing semantics, but okay. Fair enough.
So, and Sheamus did it because Cena fell through a table. So, if you want to really do it, it's been two people have pinned John Cena cleanly.
There you go.
Daniel Bryan and The Rock.
There you go.
So, Daniel Bryan...
Because if not, we would have Puss Pop being like, yeah, Sheamus is just as good as Daniel Bryan, right? And we would have more emails, and no.
But, you know, Daniel Bryan is getting, right now, treatment... That is similar to, slash, on, you know, around the kind of treatment that they give to the character of The Rock.
Yeah.
That is staggering.
Absolutely.
And it was such a good match.
Yeah.
That knee to the face was fantastic. It was a great all-around match.
Daniel Bryan just looked really incredibly strong throughout this match.
Yeah. And it did another thing where it told a fantastic story. And we'll get into this a little bit more later, but WWE is starting to like sprinkle in these Easter eggs into their product.
Yep.
And there was this moment there where you watched this, you know, respect grow between these guys. And they did the slap thing that was referenced.
Yeah.
And I gotta believe that was intentional. It was this, you know, I wouldn't slap you on Monday, but I'm slapping you now. And we're in the middle of a match, but this is a slap of respect.
Yeah.
And it was good. And Daniel Bryan won.
He sure did. With a new finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that I thought he...
With a new finisher called, I'm gonna hit you in the face with my knee?
Well, I referenced a certain chant that was used in Ring of Honor, which I won't say now because it is not friendly to our rating.
Yes.
But it's a very complicated chant that I'm surprised everyone was in unison on. But it basically is, you're going to get your blinking head kicked in. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of clapping.
I know, right? I was really surprised, and I was really impressed. I was like, all right, Ring of Honor.
So, yeah.
Not bad. So, every time I see that, if you post it on Tumblr, a GIF of it,
mm-hmm.
I've seen it on the internet, I've seen still photos, and every time I see that chant
goes through your head.
It's not a kick, but still.
Yeah.
Like, so. And I feel like that's something he needed in his repertoire. Like, I know he loves the LaBell lock, no lock, yes lock, whatever he's calling it. And that pretty much is what Daniel Bryan's all about. He is a submission wrestler. That's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
But I felt like he needed something else.
He needs to knock some people out.
Which is what that was, and it's convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple, and to the point, and dear Lord, is it...
And can genuinely come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Which is, you know...
Absolutely.
That's... Something where they really, you know, the RKO loves to come out of nowhere, but it comes out of nowhere because the camera angle is, you know.
Right.
This knee thing comes out of nowhere. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of RKO's and Randall Keith Orton's.
Yeah, so Daniel Bryan won. We got the big celebration. We got the confetti. We got people brought streamers. And I was just like, that is so touching.
Mm-hmm.
That, because it's a great little throwback to his independent days and, you know, the, you know, tradition of fans bringing streamers and,
yeah,
you know, sure it was coming from the very top of the I'm telling rafters, you, but it was so good.
Continuity Easter eggs.
No, I don't, see, that was
I love it.
Yeah, like, I don't think that was WWE's doing, like, I'm pretty sure that was, because I heard, you know, on Twitter several people be like, yeah, I brought streamers for Daniel Bryan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, that was a great moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, got the handshake with John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you know, continuing with the story. Then Triple H did this awkward linger thing, which kind of made it obvious what was about to happen.
Oh, Triple H is lingering.
Because Triple H kept trying to, like, you know, congratulate Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan was kept ignoring him. He's like, no, screw you, I'm yesing. You know. Randy Orton comes out. He holds up the briefcase, just like he's done for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then he turns around and walks away. And then Daniel Bryan eats a pedigree from Triple H.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton comes in and cashes in, and now he's the champion.
So
apparently, some people within the company, from what I've heard, and of course, this can all be completely nothing and complete, you know, speculation. But apparently, some people were unhappy with how that happened. Like, Randy Orton didn't do anything to Daniel Bryan, and he kind of took a while to get into the ring, cash in, and pin.
No.
So, some people weren't happy with that. I mean, it's fine. The guy did kind of go through a pretty grueling match.
Yeah, it's a thing where, if I am nitpicking here,
right,
I'm like, that really kind of oversells the pedigree as a super move.
Right.
Because Daniel Bryan has to be out, you know, for this whole time. But yeah, you know, it's easy to go, like, oh, long, extended, grueling match. And that was the thing where we were starting to, you know, when Randy Orton comes out, I was like, you cash this in when somebody's can't stand, when somebody's within an inch of their life in that ring. And right. Daniel Bryan is not.
He's, yeah, and he was, you know,
in celebration,
yelling at Randy Orton to bring it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's another point I wanted to make, and I should have brought it up earlier. But it's something that I noticed about the two main events, both this match and CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. Not a lot of guys hitting their finishers.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because, you know, with WrestleMania, it's, you get to like halfway through the match and then it's just one finisher after another. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with Brock and Cena, you know, it happens a lot with Taker. Like, one tombstone just won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Which
is starting to be a problem because we don't, because since Taker's one a year kind of guy now, we don't see any matches where one tombstone can finish a guy.
Right.
So it's starting to look less and less like people can take multiple tombstones, and more like Taker's getting kind of old, and his tombstones don't have the impact they used to.
I mean, they could play that up and make it part of the story, then fine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
well, know, that's the thing, is like, yeah.
But then he's got to have to come up with something else.
Yeah, touch some acknowledgement on it, or, you know, yeah, give him the super tombstone, you know, or whatever. I don't care.
Don't know what that would look like, but okay.
I'd pick him up and, like, tombstone over the head kind of thing. I don't know, it'd be dangerous.
That would be incredibly dangerous. I don't think they would even trust him with doing that.
Taker could do a small guy.
Okay.
The Taker could do a Punk or a Bryan. He could.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't super tombstone.
Speaking of, that was that one moment where they were in the turnbuckle, and Daniel Bryan was going for a head scissors, I believe, and he got caught by Cena, and Cena dropped down and looked like it was almost a pile driver.
Yeah.
That could have ended badly.
I don't know what that was supposed to look like. That might have come out exactly
right
what they wanted.
And and Daniel Bryan, you know, you see him kind of like, he pretty much prepares himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he puts himself back a little bit so he doesn't land right on his neck.
Yeah, no, it's, you know.
Does it fine, and they end up fine. And
it looks fine. It looks like they were
struggling. It looked like it was intended.
It doesn't look like a botch, so if it was a botch, they covered it well. Mm. But at the same time, it looks like Cena was in mid-pile driver when he's like, oh, we can't do that anymore. I forgot.
Speaking of botch, and we'll cover this later, we have botch of the century that we will talk about later. But yes, go on.
Okay. Okay, but this ending, and this will start to bleed into the next night's Raw.
Yes.
But we have picked up basically a new corporation storyline.
Yes.
And we are, what, some things that I'm really excited about. We have heels that I can boo. Like, that has been a big problem for a long time. And some of it's with kind of forcing this Cena-Sheamus thing of cheer for these people and the people I want to cheer for, who I don't have any reason to boo other than they say that the current town sucks. I don't live in that town, so I don't care.
Right.
You know, like CM Punk, when he struggled, he never got the heel reaction that they wanted.
Right.
Daniel Bryan, a little bit more when he was a heel, but still, like, never got this full-on heel thing, because he never was quite unlikable enough.
Right.
And right now,
he was just like, you know, that jerk character. Yeah. That just, you know,
like,
thought too much of himself kind of thing.
I didn't like him, but I didn't like disliking him.
Right.
And these heels, they have this distinct defining moment right now of ruining Daniel Bryan's moment. And part of that is, like, it genuinely angers me a little bit that the WWE could not give Daniel Bryan that moment. Because yeah. There it was. There was the confetti. There was the picture to end your pay-per-view on. Was Daniel Bryan with his championship. You acknowledge, you know, a little bit that 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, he was fired, and that he came back at SummerSlam in a surprise return, and that there was this, you know, beautiful storyline to the top. He finally has his champion, and you close off on that, and you can't give him that. And the WWE has been stomping down on Daniel Bryan. And I'm genuinely a little bit upset, and it's catching me, and I know that was intentional, and that's right. Good. And, you know, it's a thing where, you know, kids can hate Triple H because he did this.
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, me, who understands back behind the scenes stuff, who understands, you know, genuine opinion stuff, I can kind of hate Triple H too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what they're trying to get. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it works so well, and it works on multiple levels. And for the first time in a long time, I'm ready to boo the heels.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm ready to boo the heels. I'm ready to cheer for the faces.
Yes. So, I have a question.
Yes.
If they are going to do a replica of the corporation storyline,
mm-hmm.
obviously, the CM Punk, or not the CM, the Stone Cold Steve Austin persona in this would be Daniel Bryan, like we've said.
Yes.
Of course, they're different people, and mm-hmm. so they're going to be different versions of that character. Stone Cold did the infamous, you know, beer truck drive to the ring and spray it down. What would Daniel Bryan's version be of that?
I don't know. Probably some riding a horse.
I someone said it on Twitter, and I thought it was funny, and it got me thinking. And yeah, they were probably right. Daniel Bryan would drive to the ring in a Prius and have a hose that would shoot soy milk at them.
Prune juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some sort of smoothie.
I mean, that's a little bit of Kurt Angle's milk truck thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can go smoothie.
It's the wholesome version, you guys.
Even though milk is the wholesome version of the beer.
Yeah.
It's the super wholesome version.
I mean,
this is very exciting, and it's exciting for this reason, because pretty much they are putting almost all the eggs in the Daniel Bryan basket.
Yeah.
With this storyline. Because, as we've seen on Raw, their other top faces are gone.
Yes.
For at least 4 months, maybe six. Both of them.
Cena will be back in four, because Cena always comes back before he should.
Right.
Cena will be back maybe in three.
Right.
And honestly, I'm okay with that, because I honestly have faith in
them. Almost the rest of the year.
I'm going to pop when Cena comes back.
That's at least through summer, or through Survivor Series.
Through Survivor Series, yeah.
Okay, which is probably where this whole storyline is going to come to a head. So until that time, everything is on Daniel Bryan's shoulders. Now, of course, they still have CM Punk, but he's kind of in a different situation.
Well, right? CM Punk has his, you know, which is fine. He has Absolutely. His thing with Paul Heyman, which can continue forever. Mm-hmm. Their third top face guy would be Dolph.
Yeah.
So, and just imagine, like, these are the...
And they've already kind of involved Dolph mm-hmm. whenever, you know, they said he had some disparaging remarks about what Triple H did, and so they had him face all three members of the Shield, same thing with Big Show.
Yeah.
Like, those are really your top faces right now, because Big Show came back as a face.
I mean, but those are the guys, like, 6 months ago, those were the guys that we would cheer for, despite, you know, WWE's...
Yeah. And now he's the guy that basically is getting this big build and this star treatment. Like,
well, that's the thing is, you know, if they are really pushing this new corporation route, and Daniel Bryan's not Stone Cold, and Stone Cold was the bad guy, or the opponent to the corporation, because he wouldn't take orders. That was his shtick, was not take orders. And that doesn't really fit with Daniel Bryan, but they are focusing on this, you're not face of the company material.
Yeah,
you're
and not. That's basically what they did with Stone Cold, yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's very easy to point out, you know, we have, you know, these fresh out of the box action figure people who we can't use right now. We have one left, and it's Randy Orton, and that's why Randy Orton has our title.
Right.
And, you know, the B-plus line, God, that's good.
That, oh, yeah.
So,
oh,
it was, yeah.
That was a nice little jab. I loved it.
And so that's the thing is, you know, you really, you know, twist that screw right there of the not good enough, not what we're looking for. And it's a thing where, you know, you do that. And if this is the first time somebody's tuning in, it catches right away. Like, this guy is the underdog, the trained hard guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you've watched a long time, he's genuinely the underdog, the trained hard guy.
Yeah.
Against...
Like, it's one of those things where it's easy for some fans to just start complaining, like, oh, they're just rehashing old material with this corporation thing. You could say that technically fine, but it's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Like, that makes all the difference when you look at who's involved.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
And it's a... It's a thing where I'm invested.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I can't quite get over is how invested I am in where this storyline is going.
Yeah, like, in all honesty, we're recording this on Wednesday, okay? Usually by this time during each week, I need a little break from wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't feel that right now. And this was a pay-per-view week, like...
When you've watched 3 extra hours.
Right. And I don't feel that because I'm really invested... in this story, and I legitimately can't wait to see what they do next.
It's the thing, it's a I'm not over it kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, which is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw out, I talked about Easter eggs, continuity, continuances, a few more things, and I'm sure some of this is me looking for stuff, because I want this to happen. Right. I'm a big fan of that, you know, callbacks and...
Yeah, kind of like, I saw the ending of the Ring of Fire match
mm-hmm.
as a callback to what they said in one of their promos. They're like, send whoever you want, but don't expect them to come back.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically, you know, what we saw them do with Kane. You know, they're taking him with them at the end. So, yeah.
Well, it's a thing where WWE doesn't do a whole lot for their longtime viewers, for their invested viewers... Which we are. It's a one-sided thing because they got us, they know it, and they really need to pull in.
No matter how much we complain, they've hooked us.
Yeah, they got us. And, you know, they need to pull in the part-timers, which is why if The Rock hiccups, they'll put it on the show. You know, and I get that, I understand it, but it, you know, it hurts me on the inside.
I know. Yeah,
it's a one-sided relationship. So there's stuff like when, you know, Cena at WrestleMania 29 did a little callback to WrestleMania 28 where he started to do The Rock again. Yeah. I was like, I get it because I was willing to pay for this match twice. So, and, you know, it's a little bit of payoff. Stephanie yesed in the ring tonight, and she yesed in the ring last week. And she did last week as a face, and this week as a heel. And it was just, it was an interesting thing to see her do the exact same thing.
Same thing with Triple H. Triple H did the yes thing on SmackDown before the thing. And then afterwards, you know, he was doing that whole smug clap thing, which was just classic heel Triple H. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then he did the yes, the kind of the mocking yes.
Mm-hmm. Triple H.
If you look at it, there's not much difference.
No, he does it the same way.
Yeah.
And that's such, it's a cool, subtle thing that's a, you know. Triple H said buried like 40 times, which had to be intentional. Like, I know Triple H knows how to use the internet. So, and that was just he's a heel now.
Yeah, like,
it's a poke at us. Like,
pretty much now, in order to cross this whole thing off, we need to get Vince McMahon to do the yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I can die happy. I do think that they are a little bit too stacked on their side. As far as authority figures, because there's Big Man, Stephanie, Triple H, and then you got their puppet with Brad Maddox.
Like,
that's four people.
This is a thing earlier before this. We were predicting that we were getting a power struggle kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where the reins would on air be handed from Vince to Triple H. Clearly, that's not going to happen.
No.
I am totally okay with it right now because the only other option is a Vince McMahon heel turn. No. No.
And I hope, like, they explain something, like, because, you know, they were sending all these mixed messages leading up to this. Maybe they're like, well, we were trying to do what we could to hinder Daniel Bryan's chances, but on all sides.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
And it's a thing where, you know, Vince doesn't need to come out every week.
No, he doesn't.
I would totally be fine with him coming out every week, but I get if they want to go that route.
Because now that we know that they're all on the same page, we can get any one of them.
Yeah.
To come out, and they know that they are speaking for the rest of the people that are associated with them.
But that's the thing, is we have, it is a genuine kind of dark days for the fan kind of thing, because everyone in power is a heel, because Vicky's a heel on the other side. Every
champ.
Every title is a heel. Yeah. So, it's a good thing. It's like, we are at the darkest of days for these new heroes, Daniel Bryan being the main one, but I'll throw in Punk and Ziggler too, to start saving us from the dark days of the corporation. It's cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I gotta throw out also the diamond and the coal thing. Very beginning of Evolution, when Randy Orton was being introduced by Triple H, Triple H said that he is the coal that would be squeezed into the diamond of the future.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
And he called back to that, and I was like, ah, that was beautiful, Triple H.
And I thought you were trying to make a Michael Cole reference, but okay.
No, he said the coal is now the diamond. And it's a thing where, you know, if you were not watching during Evolution time,
you never would have got that.
But you didn't have to, because you know what a coal diamond thing is. And that's a rewarding Easter egg. And
that's a payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you do stuff like that, I am willing to look for other ones that might be coincidences, but I'll give you credit for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, do that more.
Yes.
And this, you know, I'm probably, a lot of this goes to Triple H, because, you know, we have talked bad about him, but he is a smart guy, he knows the business, and I think he knows the internet fan base really well.
I
think it's why he used the word buried so much.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, you know, it's just a poke. And it gets him a little more solidified as a heel.
Yeah.
And as somebody who wants to be above it and look down upon wrestling, as, you know, I'm not a fan, but I watch it for the connoisseur. I'm a connoisseur of wrestling. You know, nope. I get it. He said buried again.
We should do the podcast like that. Like, all right.
Oh, No, the man hit the other man.
Oh, yes. Yes, fandango.
Yes. I understand how the lessers would enjoy something so trife.
Oh, the funkadactyls, you say. I've got to be careful because if I slow that down, I'd just start sounding like Bane.
Yes. But, so, I don't know. It's a thing where they do this right, they keep doing it like this.
Mm-hmm.
We have anywhere to go from here.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I have just one final SummerSlam note, if you're ready to move on.
Go for it.
It was a great pay-per-view, start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I had one bone to pick, and I wouldn't be so angry about it if they didn't replay it on Raw the next night. Okay? And it made me angry.
Okay.
It was the last little video package thing with Miz
mm-hmm.
on SummerSlam. And, you know, he got interrupted by Fandango, started dancing, and then he got laid out by Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cole, doing his...
Oh, yeah.
Doing his, the core voice, mm-hmm. he's like, well, I guess you can say he got Fandangoed.
Did he say that one, or did Jerry say that
No,
one?
That was Michael Cole.
Because then Jerry say, I think you mean Fandango.
See, that would make sense. But I don't understand, like, okay, it might have been funny if his name was Fan Upgo. But it's not. And that wouldn't even be funny. The name Fan Upgo might be. And then they replayed it. They replayed it.
That reminds me of, it was either last year or the year before, during the holiday season, where they did a special Pringles, like a special holiday, you know, can of Pringles where the Pringles man had a Santa beard and a yes. Santa hat. And the can said, Merry Pringles. And you're like, Merry Pringles is not a pun. And no. You could have gone with Pringle Bells.
Or
Merry Christmas.
Or, you know, good old, what was it, Chris Pringle.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like
Chris Pringle.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But no, Happy Pringle.
Merry Pringles. Make...
No.
Fandango.
No Fandango. No Fandango.
We don't ask a lot from our puns. But we ask for a little bit.
That's not even a pun! It's not a pun, it's not ironic, it's nothing! It's not even funny! You can't even say that much, it's not a joke!
It's pretty Fandango, isn't it? That's gonna be the lowest thing. That's less than one math. That's a Fandango.
That is... A new, I discovered a new level below rock bottom, because I thought rock bottom was the absolute it.
No.
Finality. There's a new low, and that's where Fandango goes.
But see.
And that level is called Sin Cara's Finger.
Oh, I thought it. Oh, excuse me, stop it.
And that's what I was alluding to earlier when I said it was the biggest botch ever of this decade. Because the guy gets a dislocated finger. And he calls off the freaking match, okay? Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestled with a broken neck, okay? Shawn Michaels wrestled, what, 2-3 months with a broken back? And you want to call it quits?
Somebody...
Because you hurt your little pinky finger.
Somebody inserted a football into John Cena's elbow.
And he wrestled still! And he had to leave that same episode. It's not like there was like all this time in between. It happened that same night.
Excuse me, my finger got a bit tweaked. I'd like to stop now.
When did he get that accent?
That's my Sin Cara accent. You can't prove it's not.
And on top of that, and yes, that segment was interesting because then we had the ref forcibly, like, pushing Del Rio away. He's like, no, this is serious, guys. Like, it's one of those things whenever, you know, you see, like, rent-a-cops or guards or whatever, they take their job way too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt about that ref in that moment. I'm like, okay, dude, it's a dislocated finger. It's okay. He took a kick to the leg from Del Rio. It's okay.
Well, that also leads into Ricardo betraying Del Rio. And I was ready for this moment, because...
I was thinking Yellow Cow.
Yes! That's who he was gonna run back behind the scenes.
Yeah, I thought that's why he had his shirt unbuttoned, didn't have a tie on.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, he's gonna change real quick. He He's going to come out as LL Cal. It's like, here it comes.
This moment.
He's going to be his own ring announcer.
Ricardo in the ring. I would, I want him to be his own ring announcer so bad. That'd be
great.
That's all I want out of that.
Okay. Ricardo, we know that there's a chance you might be listening to this because we now have connections.
Because you're my favorite, Ricardo.
You know the whole degrees of Kevin Bacon? Yeah. 6 degrees? Okay, we're 1 degree away from Ricardo. We know this for a fact. So there's a chance he might be listening to this. Dude, you need to wrestle, okay? We get that you're like us. You're a fan. And so whenever these guys that you've respected all these years comes along and they want to do something with you, you jump at it. And we completely understand that. Trust me, if Shawn Michaels came up to me one day and he'd be like, hey, let's grow beards together, I'd be completely okay with it. But Ricardo, dude, come on, man. We want to see you wrestle. And I know that that's probably, if it was up to you, you probably would be. But come on. Come on.
Here's my only real true problem with it. Because honestly, I have been nothing but impressed with Rob Van Dam since he came back. Absolutely. Rob Van Dam wants to be in the title scene. I'm good for it.
You want to hang out? You should have been in the title scene already.
Yeah, you want to hang out with Rob Van Dam? I'm totally good for that. But that's a setup. It's a tried and true setup. You're his butler for a while. You get fed up. You turn on him. It's Alex Riley and The Miz. It's Virgil. It's the thing.
Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels.
And I totally get that this didn't work out well for Virgil, and it didn't work out well for Alex Riley.
But it worked out fine for other people.
But it's the thing. You have a year. You have 2 years of being his little footman. You can't take it anymore. You turn, the crowd goes nuts. And that's what I wanted, and you were gonna take another bump off a giant ladder.
Not that we want you to get hurt or anything, because we do adore you, but still. Come on.
But someday.
Someday soon. He's soon. He's still young. Still got plenty of time.
And he's still on the show frequently.
If we had a choice between him not being on the show and him, you know, wrestling.
This is not bad.
No. We still get to see your glorious face.
And I get this, that I might want too much too soon.
Yes.
But I want too much too soon! Give it to me now!
It's not bad enough. It's not, you know, enough that they're giving us everything we wanted with Daniel Bryan.
I know.
And CM Punk. We want more. Like,
yes.
We keep reaching for more.
So, yes, you give me everything I wanted. I understand that. And now I want more.
Shifting gears into something even more absurd. We got the first promo of a new tag team, Los Matadors.
Yeah.
Bullfighting wrestlers.
Yeah.
Featuring two guys who aren't from Mexico.
Yeah.
Which is what they were kind of alluding to. They're, oh yeah, the Mexican bull fighters.
Yeah.
But they have these two Puerto Rican wrestlers doing it instead. They have... If you don't want your kayfab to be broken already, even though WWE pretty much broke it for us, like, on their Twitter account, they did the whole, like, what's following. Yeah. And then, it's Primo and Epico. But no more Rosa.
Yep.
Wah, wah. Shucks. We don't get to hear her yell horrible Spanish.
So, I feel like they're trying to rebuild the tag team.
I'm just assuming they're still mad at Carlito and they're taking it out on them.
Yeah.
That's just, they hired a little person to be their manager.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, I've seen YouTube videos of this individual and he does amazing things. Like, he does stuff I wish Rey Mysterio still did.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. But it's just, come on.
Maybe it'll be great.
Yeah, we said that about Brodus Clay.
Maybe it'll be great. But right now, it is only a minute, a 90-second at max promo, and I'm not hoping for more. So,
yeah.
Your promos aren't doing their job, basically.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm not full on dreading because there's nothing there to really dread yet.
What they've suggested so far on the premises just seems so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they've done ridiculous plenty of times, and sometimes it works.
Brodus worked for a while.
For a while.
We love Brodus for a while.
And now him and Sweet Tea are just kind of in a circle pattern.
Yeah. So, but there's no Cena, there's no Sheamus. They got time to fill.
They do.
So
they do.
maybe we'll just get more Ryback being mean.
Yeah. We already talked about Cena and Sheamus being out.
Sheamus and
Cena. We knew the thing with the elbow, and apparently now he definitely needs surgery. He probably should have done this, you know, a month ago. But
yeah, no, this is a thing where I just like I have to step out of any sort of personal preference. Cena, man, that guy is a workhorse.
Absolutely. No. He wouldn't let it stop him. Like anybody else, they saw that. If you were seeing Kara, you would have stopped the moment your arm hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
So I gotta give you props. I'm gonna pop when you come back. I will.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things where the past few years, this time of year creates kind of a problem for Cena because it's like they don't know what they want to do with him.
Yeah.
But they still want him on the show, obviously, for many different reasons. And so they kind of scrape together something for him to do month to month. Now they don't really have to do that. Now they could theoretically keep him rested up until WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
He won't do that, knowing John Cena. He'll come back earlier than he probably should.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But at least that kind of, they can refresh. They can figure out how they want to bring him back. Because you know they're going to bring him back and it's going to be something big.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you know, he still is John Cena. You bring him back in a big, bad way.
Yeah.
I don't need to see him in the title scene right away. That being said, I don't know what the title scene is going to look like when he's well enough.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
That he might be good to come in and help revitalize, save that. But right now, I don't need him in the title scene. The title scene looks good.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as I still like Cena more than the average, I'm sad to see him go, because I'm not, you know.
I think we all could do with a little Cena break.
Yeah.
You know, not saying, you know, God, I wish you would just, you know, leave forever. I just, you know, some time apart could be helpful for everyone.
There's nothing on the show where I really want to stick Cena in.
Yeah.
There's no Cena hole in their programming right now. Cena shaped hole.
It's a sword.
It's a horse?
I don't know what I was going to say.
There's no Cena shaped hole in their programming right now, and so maybe there will be soon.
Right, yeah. I mean, this gives them time to figure out what they want
to
do.
What the best thing to do with Cena is. So
yeah.
And
Sheamus, we don't care.
Well, you know.
Can I just say, because I know, like, we've devoted certain amount of time for the past few weeks about being anti-Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Can we now just, because I'm livid about this, can we now, like, devote a certain space of time on our podcast for voicing anti-Sin Cara stuff?
You're mad at Sin Cara, aren't you?
It's like, you see the drive that John Cena has for this business.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him, He's got that.
Mm-hmm.
That he'll go through this horrible ordeal with his elbow and this arm thing and wrestle when he, no one would look down on him for not wrestling through that.
Yeah.
No one would look down on CM Punk from coming back too soon from his injuries that he's done in the past. And then you got a guy like this who has this opportunity that a lot of people dream of.
You know, a lot of people go through a lot worse for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, Jesse Sorensen.
Yeah.
You know, the kid broke his neck for the company and was willing to come back in a different capacity. He gave up wrestling because he was, you know, it wasn't safe for him. Now he's at a point where, what else is he going to do?
Yeah.
You know? This is what he loves. This is what he wants to do. So he's going to go back out and do it, even though he probably shouldn't have. Now, of course, you know, he heard the good news that his neck is 100%, and he can do it without risk of re-injuring it. But there's so many other guys that are like that, that would kill to be in the opportunity that Sin Cara has, even with a mask on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's great with kids. He's going
to
do a lot of merchandise.
A moment to be in that spotlight with that crowd, with that many eyeballs on you to see what
absolutely
you can do.
Absolutely. Like, you're on national television in front of millions of people on a weekly basis. And there was a point in time where they were pretty high on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a dislocated finger. And you call it off.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm one of the biggest pansies.
Yeah, and it's like, I would have called off if I had a dislocated
finger. But I'm also not a wrestler. Like, yeah. That's not something I ever desire to be, because I know myself, and that doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
To be that.
Here's the one difference for me. I mean, I totally support you if you want to rage on Sankara.
Well, you took the torch with
Sheamus. But somebody needed to hold that Sheamus torch. Somebody needed, I felt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I felt that nobody was calling out my problems with Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had to do it. I had to take that stand. I don't think anybody is on the other side of the fence. Nobody's on the other side of this argument for Sankara.
There's always one. You know it.
There's always Pat.
There's always a Pat. So just in case, I will use this torch as a beacon to draw those
Pats
in, so I might slay them and and kill them with fire. That was my reaction whenever I saw the elbow thing. I was like, cut it off and kill it with fire.
All right. No, it does look like John Cena's growing another John Cena.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes, just...
All right. I also would like to mention CM Punk yelled at a fan this week.
It was fantastic.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Like,
what was that about?
I mean, maybe it was something that he was like, okay, if there's a fan booing me, because I'm going to be, you know, the angry guy that just wants to fight right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll, you know, the opportunity lends itself, I'll go for it.
At first, I thought that was a plant, because...
I mean, there's been moments in the past where, you know, fans were yelling stupid crap that they really shouldn't have been, and he let them have it, but not with a microphone in his hand.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the thing is, I also don't know if this guy was, you know... Here's the thing. If a guy wants to boo, yeah, it's his prerogative. I've always... And that's part of the thing, I've always been like, Cena's been a stand-up guy for really accepting and embracing... Right. The, you know, cheer boo, you know,
well,
duality.
But that's also Cena.
That's also Cena. And there's a little bit of like, CM Punk will not accept your boo.
No.
I
think, to be honest with you, I think the guy was just booing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Punk just used that for whatever he was getting at. And it fit perfectly into what he was saying, so.
You know, there was a little bit of like, they can't just let him, you know, tear into a random fan like this. And I was like,
but it's
CM Punk punched a random fan.
That's what I'm saying.
A little while ago.
Yeah, because we were watching it here at the apartment. It was me, Neil, and Jason. And I forget who was it. Like, one of them was like, can he do that? Like, he's gonna get some crap from people in the back. And I was like, he clocked a fan in the face a year ago. The wrong fan.
Yes.
And, you know, he basically got away with just a slap of the wrist, you know? So, it was fantastic. And the fact that even Paul Heyman got in on it.
Well, yeah.
It's like, I am not the fat fan.
That's the thing, is like, it's, you know, the reason that I'm okay with it, that it's, you know, I'm taking it as a good thing and not a CM Punk being a jerk.
Yeah.
Is because, you know...
I viewed it as fuel for what he was...
Well, that's the thing, is it's not CM Punk being a jerk. Because when he was a jerk, when he was trying to gain these boos and be mean to the fans, it didn't click for me. This felt like CM Punk being himself.
Yeah.
And
also being a face, which was something I found weird because... Well, not weird, but when he was a face... At the beginning of his big championship run, it didn't feel organic, you know?
No, that's the thing, is he didn't...
Like he was holding himself back.
It didn't feel like CM Punk was being a face there. It felt like CM Punk was being CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
You react how you want to react. CM Punk, and here's the thing, is like, I don't want to say bad things about CM Punk, because it hurts me on the inside,
yes.
And because he just had that match.
Yes.
But if there
we
is...
just said that we will never doubt him again.
Yes. But if there is a flaw in CM Punk and his ability on the microphone and in the ring as a wrestler, he doesn't pander well.
But I think that... We like that, though.
No, we like that personally.
Well, I mean, because it's a change from Cena, who is a overly stuffed pander bear.
Yes. And he could pander both ways, I feel.
Right.
CM Punk It's never felt organic when he is pandered.
Yes.
Even, like, I remember, like, Straight Edge Society, CM Punk. There was a promo, it was Straight Edge Society, he was in Chicago, and he tried to get those boos.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not working for you. Mm-hmm. Just accept that you're not going to get boos in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Except
when you don't wrestle. When you openly say that, I'm not wrestling tonight. Then there's a chance. Oh,
they booed.
They booed. And it was beautiful.
But that's the thing. Is like this CM Punk, this angry, this mad CM Punk. And this CM Punk who, you know, took it out on this one fan. It felt like CM Punk being CM Punk.
Now, if the fan was being straight up disrespectful, then by all means, fair.
Yeah, time. I mean, and that's totally, there's a very real possibility that this fan was making it a less than fun experience for fans near him. Because that fan was in, you know, the front, he was inside or almost ringside.
And, you know, people were posting pictures, like people sitting around were posting pictures of the guys. Like, this is the guy that CM Punk just lit into. He's texting all of his fans, or texting all of his friends like a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, some people around him, you know, they seemed like they weren't happy with him to begin with.
Yes.
So that could have been the thing. Could have been a plant. Could have been just been, you know,
could have been a
random guy.
He was having fun, and, you know, if CM Punk would yell at me, I'd be so happy.
I would welcome him with open arms and be like,
I'd be so happy.
Let me swim in your hatred, CM Punk.
Tell me my flaws. Please. So, you know, It was probably the highlight of that fan's night. So, you know, that's the thing is like, but yeah, CM Punk being CM Punk is always going to be my favorite CM Punk.
Yes.
He was best as a heel, pointing out legitimate problems. He's best as a face, pointing out legitimate problems that I agree with.
Yeah.
And as long as he's doing that, he's going to work the best. And that's why he's never going to work as a heel for me again. And as good as a heel as CM Punk makes. Because I don't think anybody makes a better heel than CM Punk right now on the roster. So that's almost a tragedy that he will never work again as a heel for me.
Yeah.
But he won't work as a heel for me because he works as a tweener so well.
Oh, yeah.
He works as a take me as I am, cheer, boo, I don't care. And it's a cheer boo I don't care that's a very different cheer boo I don't care that John Cena has.
Yeah.
And it works so well for Cena, or for Punk, that I can't see him any other way.
Yeah.
And so, but that's what I have now. So that's okay. And I'm good, and I'm glad.
Alrighty. Taking a shift to a more serious note. Big news, and, you know, it would be dumb of us to completely ignore it. Before SummerSlam, I want to say Friday or Thursday.
Somewhere in the week, yeah.
Yeah, Darren Young came out as being openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
He came out to TMZ, and just a moment where it was like, as people have put it, you know, it was almost like he was like, you know, no one asked me before, so I'd never said I was.
No.
You know? So it was, first of all, I can't imagine how difficult it must have been, you know, to do that in the first place.
Yeah.
And to do so like that just shows, just, you know, like, not even making a big deal about it. He's like, you know, it's a brave thing. I don't know, whatever. You know,
yeah.
It's me. It's who I am.
Yeah.
So, that was very awesome of him. And what's also incredibly awesome about it is the reaction. Because pretty much everyone else in the WWE, their reaction followed suit with Darren's.
Mm-hmm.
With Darren's initial, you know, demeanor about himself. Like, they were all like, oh, I didn't know that about him, but, you know, he shows up, he does his job, we like him, so it's no big deal.
And he, you know, I think WWE has addressed this in the best possible way.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty much not.
Yeah.
You know, he got... Like,
it was one of the things, Darren Young didn't make it a big news, so why should they?
Yeah.
Like, they said something on their front page just to show their support.
Yeah, they said that.
Yeah.
He did get a longer match this Monday. Primetime players are suddenly faces.
and he got the hot tag.
Yeah, the hot
tag. Which usually is Titus's thing.
So
he got to hit his finisher on Raw.
Yeah.
And win. And from what I've heard, spoilers if you want to watch SmackDown, he beat Cesaro clean one-on-one.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of like, oh, he's suddenly getting... You know,
but I mean, that's like, if there was anyone who is in the public eye, WWE's always going to capitalize on it. Now, what they're doing is they're not making it about the news.
Right.
They're just putting him on TV and,
yeah,
and giving him a chance.
There's also a lot of like, you know, yes, they were, you know, they're suddenly a face tag team now, but they weren't the heeliest of tag teams anyway to begin with.
No, you they know? Were just, you know, arrogant.
Yeah.
Which is... Seems to be the most...
Which they still are. They still do the Millions and Millions dance, you know?
I do love that dance.
they're still, you know, entertaining and fun. And I really like that Darren has gotten better since the days of Nexus.
Agreed.
You know?
But to show my true, just... I don't care what your background is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care race, creed, sexual orientation... Gender.
Mahal.
Yes. Regardless of all those things, I still hate Darren. I think Titus is much better.
I do think Titus is better. I think
But Titus is also older.
Mm-hmm. I think Titus is more experienced. But I think... See, I don't hate Darren and...
No. I don't hate him. I've never really been a fan of his. Just because I still have those memories of Nexus.
See, I think he has taken massive strides.
Agreed, yeah.
I do think he was the bottom guy in Nexus.
Yeah.
And that's a team that had Heath Slater on it.
I don't know if he would be, like... I don't know. Okay, he might be rock bottom. He's not Sin Cara Finger. I think Sin Cara Finger would be the one guy we can never remember his name.
Bandana Man?
Michael Tarver.
Yep.
He was the true Sin Cara Finger. I'm gonna make that into a thing. I don't care.
See, I think he was... I think he had genuine talent. I think he did good stuff, especially in that SummerSlam match. But I think it was him and Skip Sheffield kind of being the same people.
Yeah.
And Skip Sheffield was better.
Yeah.
And so...
He was very unpolished back
yeah,
then.
Especially yeah, especially when you were adding in Husky Harris at the time, yeah, who was not that different from those two guys, and he had injury. There was just not enough room for him.
Yeah.
Which sucks for him. I genuinely feel bad for the guy.
But kudos to them for sticking around, because, you know, they let go a lot of guys, and then they put Darren back on NXT.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily, you know... The most encouraging thing.
No, but I think that Darren has improved immensely. Agreed. I think he's got a long way to go, but I think having shown improvement shows that there is definite potential to continue to improve.
And speaking of improving, like, I think this shows some of the maturity in WWE now, because had this been Attitude Era, there would be no doubt in my mind that they would have used this in some sort of manner. Like, blatantly said, you know, involving, you know, his lifestyle and something that should be private anyway.
Yes.
But they would include it into the storyline, which
yeah,
we don't need another Truck and Billy.
And there's...
For a variety of reasons.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
There's maybe either speculation that... Zeb made mention of WWE has made headlines recently.
Right, and that's
for
as
reasons
close as
I don't approve of, you know.
And that's as close as he got to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that that's where he stopped.
Yeah.
You know? And I understand how far that character goes.
I understand that that is a button-pushing character.
Yeah. I don't really... It's one of those things where... Remember how we talked about, you know, reality shows make us uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it's a really awkward train wreck that you don't want to see. This is like that. Like, this is that painful awkward. Like, it's this is like watching drunk Ric Flair on a panel awkward. Like, I don't want to watch that. I don't... It makes me feel uncomfortable. But that's me. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah. So,
I shouldn't be stressed out when I watch your product, which is what I'm saying.
Right. So, I think it was handled... genuinely to the best of its ability.
Agreed. Absolutely.
I have no complaints.
Nope.
And I hope that everybody comes out the better for it, you know?
Yeah, like...
This is, honestly, you know, primetime players have gotten a boost from this.
Yep. And Darren Young, the person, can, you know, he can live his life in the open.
Yes.
To the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying that he was particularly limited before this, but no one knew about it. So there was, like, that little bit of, you know...
Yeah.
Secretive instinct. But now, he's completely out in the open, and more power to him. Completely respect.
I hope good things for everybody.
Yep.
And most importantly of all, I hope you guys wrestle really well.
Yes. I think I said on my Twitter account, I respect Derek Young, and this is his day, and for today only, I will not make fun of your ring work.
Which has gotten better.
I will not take that away from
bounds. That guy has gotten better.
Absolutely.
And so.
I want to save that for.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what do we have left?
Nothing.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack.
Dum 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 mail sack. Mail sack. Mail sack.
Why are you singing it like the person from SpongeBob?
Squidward?
Yeah.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go in.
I do play the clarinet. So, first of all, thank you to everyone who submitted. We have a lot of submissions in the mail sack. And they did so because it was a birthday present for Joel. Joel's birthday was this week, and I told everyone that what Joel really wanted most of anything was for a full mail sack. I even put it in a poem that I posted on your wall.
Yes.
Did you read that poem?
I read that poem.
Did you like the poem?
I liked that poem.
Yeah, you did.
It was a good poem.
Thank you. I tried it because you're known for your poems.
Yeah.
So I tried to...
It was well done. I appreciated the poem. So.
Anytime, buddy.
Yeah.
First of all, we're going to go with a late submission. It actually came to us while we were recording. This comes from Sarah. She asked me if the flannel will continue, and do I think that more pro wrestler should invest in my flannel wearing? This is a recent thing for me. I've recently discovered flannel, and I've been wearing a lot of it. I'm wearing it right now, actually.
Yeah.
I just think it looks nice. I wasn't fishing for a compliment from you. I know you weren't going to give it to me anyway. Yeah, I think we could use some more flannel in the WWE. It's a more manly look. I'm pretty sure we're going to get Daniel Bryan wearing flannel at some point.
I will accept the flannel on one condition, that is wrapped around Mick Foley.
Good call. There you go. I will completely agree with that. This one comes from Twitter, from @radman9. This is aimed at Joel. What is the greatest Sheamus match?
The greatest Sheamus match? I am going to go with... Honestly, and hear me out, because there's a lot of reasons I can argue for this match. I'm going to go with the 18-second match. Partially because it's kind of the only match, like, specific match I can remember from Sheamus.
Yeah.
I remember that match, and I remember he wrestled Triple H at one of the WrestleManias, but I don't remember what happened in that match. It was kind of like a fine match. But the 18-second match... the easy lowball answer is because Sheamus was only in the ring for 18 seconds.
Womp womp.
That match, though, I was not a complainer about that match like a lot of people were. Partially because occasionally, yeah, out of nowhere kind of things, I enjoy that. I enjoy surprise stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of the complaints about that match were it robbed Daniel Bryan of his WrestleMania moment. That's a much easier pill to swallow today than it was at WrestleMania 28.
Very true.
Because Daniel Bryan is, you know, just a hair away from face of the company situation.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, that match did so much to put Daniel Bryan over.
But Joel, Daniel Bryan was already over before that. I remember people complaining to you about that.
Yeah, but... you watch You watched the Yes Chant on the Go Home Raw episode and the WrestleMania, the post WrestleMania episode.
No. Wait, he wasn't even on that show.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
Radman9 also asked me, me personally, with the, I can't choose Fandango, but if I could ballroom dance with any wrestler, who would it be and what song? Obviously Chris Masters, and the mm-hmm. song would be, My Heart Will Go On, but sung by Scott Stapp from Creed.
All right.
Because I think it would be funny.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is Summer Rae technically have a wrestling contract?
Oh, I hate you. Well, in that case, it would be Caitlyn. And it will obviously be Let's Get It On.
That's not a ballroom dance song.
I don't care. He just asked what song. He didn't say ballroom song.
Alright, fine.
Mambo number 5 then. Are you okay with that? I don't know if that's ballroom dancing either, but whatever.
Can Caitlyn dance?
I don't care.
I know that the redhead girl on Total Divas can't.
No one else. I didn't pick her.
That's all I know. I know somebody can and she can't.
What makes you think other people will be watching this dance?
Because it's happening in a ballroom.
We're ballroom dancing. It doesn't have to happen in a ballroom.
It's not a ballroom dance if it's not happening in a ballroom. Then it's just a room dance.
Well, okay. Maybe I don't need to tell you the name of my secret room then. That makes it the ballroom.
Go on. Next question.
It's a sword. That's going to be our go-to, like, dumb statement. Like, moving on. This comes from our favorite...
Roomba.
Our second favorite Roomba.
After DJ Roomba.
After DJ Roomba, which makes Pussbot completely mad. He hates it when we say that.
Yeah, sorry, Pussbot.
No, I'm not sorry. DJ Roomba was better. Learn to play music. This comes from at Pussbot3000. Who do you guys think will be in the new corporation? We have Vince, Triple H, Horton, and Stephanie, and who else?
That's a real question.
It is a real question from Pussbot. Like, I'm surprised. Good job, Pussbot. Now go back in your cage. Well, I mean, we got the Shield.
Yeah.
So technically that counts.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Unless they, you know, want someone in their immediate circle. In that case, they would probably need some sort of heavy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the only one that really comes to mind right now is Big E. Maybe Ryback.
Like, the Shield is serving the heavy thing right now.
Yeah. So I'm okay with just Shield.
Yeah.
I would just Shield, like there's just, yeah, like some flyover.
Like, yeah, just if we have to do the Shield. I would like somebody to be the specific liaison for SmackDown. Who gets their orders straight from, and this is a thing where I would really like, you know, a much bigger separation between SmackDown and Raw. I would like a lot of focus on, you know, building up SmackDown, and these are guys you can only see on SmackDown, and, mm-hmm. you know, redoing that brand separation. And as long as you're being forced to do weird stuff because, you know, you don't have your main guys and you have to start changing up, go ahead and change that up too. I would not mind Teddy Long getting a heel turn.
It would be something different.
Teddy Long clapped when they introduced Randy Orton.
Yeah, and him.
It was really weird and awkward.
It was only him and Brad Maddox on the stage mm-hmm. clapping. And that's another thing. Pretty much everyone on that stage turned heel.
Because they
watched.
Because they didn't help Daniel Bryan?
They watched.
But see, here's the thing. It might be me searching for more continuity Easter eggs, but Daniel Bryan's super best friend would be Kane, who is somewhere in the middle of being kidnapped by the Wyatt family. So, you know.
Kane would have come to his rescue.
Mm-hmm, but Kane can't.
But technically, now, Undertaker is Daniel Bryan's friend by association.
Yeah, but Undertaker is in his
now, Undertaker is his friend by association, John.
Undertaker is his friend, but Undertaker is taking his year-long hibernation until the gong of WrestleMania strikes again.
Yeah, and he did wrestle on Raw.
He did. SmackDown. Yeah, you got
more. So now we've got a longer, like, it started later.
You got more Undertaker than you ever could have hoped, so you appreciate the Undertaker that you
did. I just want Daniel Bryan to have friends, okay?
Daniel Bryan has friends. They were inside him the whole time. In his heart.
Well, that was creepy, alright.
Yeah, I don't need Ryback there.
No. Especially with this weird food fetish thing.
Yeah, this kind of, like, bully Ryback, I'm not feeling.
And the weird shower thing this week.
I want Ryback to start...
That was a little bit too much.
I want Ryback to start bullying people into, like, doing good deeds. Like, what are you doing? Pick up that trash. What are you doing? Help that old lady with her groceries. What are you doing?
But doing, like, really threatening, like, yeah, their face. Like, go help her with the garbage or something. Yep. Like, yeah.
I don't like it. Help this ring people to break down the ring. They work hard. They don't get enough appreciation.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah. Also, though, yeah, the new corporation is kind of full.
Yeah, like, there's enough people so far. Like, mm-hmm, any more than that? Because, like, they're almost at too many people now.
Yeah, I would maybe give Stephanie a focus on the Divas division, which could put AJ, you know, she can be, AJ, you are, have, you know, spawnless appreciation from the fans. We gave you a try at GM, which you totally botched. You know, let's remember that we did that once.
Yeah.
And Vince did that. Vince was the one that made that call.
Mm-hmm.
But we're willing to give you a try as the face of the Divas division. You're our champion, and we will screw over other Divas to keep you champion, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which would kind of put AJ there, which could bring Big E in as a heavy there. Leaving Dolph Ziggler free to go after the World Heavyweight Championship. Oops, did I say that out loud?
You might have mentioned that
once. Yes. Or twice. Yeah. Give it to me now. Okay. I'm not happy with everything you've given me this week.
Just keep asking for more.
All right, next.
This kind of transitioned pretty well. At BD Inside Pulse, will Shield eventually turn face on the McMahons?
You have two options with the Shield right now.
Okay.
And I am fine with you holding this off till SummerSlam or Survivor Series, because Survivor Series will mark their year debut.
Yeah.
And I kind of want them to acknowledge that and be like, you know, here's our status report. What 1 year really in, how's our justice thing going?
Mm-hmm.
You either go, you think this is justice, this is not justice, and they would turn face by default because they're going against the corporation. But clearly, this is not justice because they're screwing over to get their favorite,
yeah, you know,
thing. Or you go that direction, which would be, yes, the Shield turns on them. Or you go the justice is getting paid thing,
mm-hmm,
which, God, that would be a good t-shirt.
Yeah.
Which, you know, keeps them heel, makes them very big, hypocritical justice people, but keeps them heel, which is what you want. Keeps them as an enforcer unit for the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want, there's your catchphrase. Go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Moving on. At today's Jim Sawyer, do you think the WWE will mention the McMahon squashing Zack Ryder's push in their current story? And he just adds, they won't, but they should. I mean, possibly. Like, they, I mean, it's a interesting talking point. Like, I doubt it.
Yeah. Zack Ryder is, you know, unfortunately has seemed kind of flash in the panty. Like, since he has been squashed, he hasn't come up again. He was basically, his push was sacrificed for the greater good of the Cena story. As a business decision, I understand it. Zack Ryder's not untalented in the ring, though.
No.
And he, during that time, proved that he could hang out with solid mid-card, you know, scraping his fingernails against the glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if he had the skills to ever hang out with those truly great matches kind of thing. But, you know, there is this very easy thing. If you're hitting on the B-plus thing, if you're hitting on the, we are making, you know, we are not letting fair competition happen because we want these, we want our champions to look like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get that Zack Ryder flew too close to the sun, and we had to stop that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, this is if they're wanting to incorporate more faces to kind of have Daniel Bryan's back.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming they would need to do eventually. It brings in Dolph Ziggler, you know.
Yeah, they need to do that if they want the Shield to continually be the enforcers.
Yeah.
Because you're going to need two more people for Daniel Bryan, to have Daniel Bryan's back.
And then, I mean, well, three people if you count in Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I guess that right now is Dolph Ziggler and Big Show.
Basically.
But,
which also brings in Mark Henry.
Yeah, so, there is stuff you can do. The Zack Ryder thing is not a bad idea.
No.
And, again, dropping them Easter eggs, there's definitely callbacks that you can do there.
Yep.
So.
But I don't really see them doing that.
I don't see them doing that. But I would not be against them doing that.
Yeah. This comes in from our buddy Jonah. How do you see the WrestleMania card now that we're past SummerSlam? Honestly, now that Cena's going to be gone for a little while, I can kind of see him doing Undertaker.
Coming back for the Undertaker?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. Depending on where they bring him back in.
Yeah.
I feel like if he's a surprise, quote-unquote surprise, Royal Rumble return. Because I really feel like if he hasn't returned by the Royal Rumble, he's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
If he is that, I really feel like he'll win the Royal Rumble, which will put him back in the title scene. That will mean he'll win Royal Rumble twice in a year, though. I don't want that to happen.
And three times total.
Yeah.
And that's only been done by Stone Cold, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Got our stat checkers on that. But there is a lot more question and a lot more up in the air if The Rock will be on the card.
Yeah.
It was kind of an all but guarantee when we were making our predictions at the beginning.
Be Brock and Rock. Some people are saying that, you know, maybe he won't come back.
Yeah.
Which I'll be okay with, to be honest with you.
I'll be okay either way.
Yeah.
It's 30, and I am right now accepting that 30 is...
It's going to be full of shenanigans.
It's the All-Star card. It's the, you know, part-timers galore. If they could get, you know, anybody they can get back in the ring from a previous WrestleMania, they'll do it.
Yeah.
So, I have accepted that of WrestleMania 31. So, if they can do a Brock and Rock, I have accepted that. I kind of want to see Brock and Punk.
Yeah,
That throws a wrench in my Punk and Stone Cold dream, but...
But, I mean, you know, if that's not going to happen, then might as well go this route.
Yeah.
Especially after what we've seen, I'd be completely okay with it. Speaking of WrestleMania, I thought it was interesting news now that they're saying that one of the frontrunners for WrestleMania 31 would be the new San Francisco 49ers stadium.
Stadium.
Which isn't even finished yet.
Well, they better get on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's also not this year's Super Bowl, but the next year's Super Bowl will also be there.
Yeah.
They love following, like, the year before, like, because they did MetLife Stadium, and now this year met the Super Bowl will be at MetLife Stadium. Yeah.
Well, they better get on it, or we'll have an outdoor WrestleMania by accident this time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be outdoor stadium regardless.
Yeah.
I forgot what the other place was that they're also considering. I can't remember.
I don't know. Yeah. That's not something I pay attention to until they announce
it. Yeah, it was just something that I just happened to come across, like, an hour ago. Or 2 hours ago.
It's, as far as the WrestleMania card, I don't know where I put Daniel Bryan on my WrestleMania card.
I mean, I'm assuming, like, this new corporation thing was probably still going by then.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Well, a Triple H heel turn is a major heel turn, and unless you are in dire circumstances, he is not going to be a face anytime soon.
No.
So, it's, you know, although I'm not sure I had him on my card either. I was maybe kind of hoping he was actually having some retirement.
I don't remember what my card was.
So, I don't know what my card was, but
we have to dig into our archives for that.
Yeah, I think mine was too full to put Daniel Bryan on it in any major spot.
No, I think I had Daniel Bryan and Kane finally breaking up.
Oh, yeah? So, I think Daniel Bryan is going to be... You know, I do not see this Daniel Bryan, you know, stuff going away anytime soon.
No.
So...
And I'm okay with that.
No, I'm okay with that. Fine. I have less than zero complaints.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he'll be there more than... I originally thought he would be.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Alrighty, so we had so much to talk about and so much mail to discuss that we're going to have to cut it there. But, never fear, your mail will be read on air.
Your mail is still in the sack.
Yes, it remains in the sack and will sit nice and cozy. Till next week.
Alright. Please remember, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, @CRAttire. We'll be tweeting every single Monday Night Raw and appropriate Sunday nights.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to put in the mail sack, send those to classyringattire@gmail.com. And because that time of the year is coming up somewhat soon, if you want a Ms. Christmas postcard from the Classy Ring Attire crew, send those requests to classyringattire@gmail.com as well.
Remember, we are also on iTunes. You can look us up there. You can subscribe to us there. You get brand new episode every single time we get one. You can give us a review. You could give us a rating of
5 stars,
which would be awesome.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. My column went live today. I just went into more detail about the SummerSlam card and everything that happened afterwards. So check that out. Check out Blair has his internet activity. The second part. Dear Lord, the TNA drones came out just all guns blazing. Like it's mesmerizing to see. Yeah. And our good friend Blair just knocks them all down. I love it.
Blair's so cool.
He's so cool.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.